You may or may not have noticed that as we've been looking on Sunday mornings at these different character qualities that the Lord tells us to supplement with our faith, supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, and so on and so forth. I've been looking for other passages, particularly in the Old Testament, Psalms and others, that would kind of correlate with that help flesh out, help us to see that there are other parts of God's Word that address the same issue. And tonight, as we consider this matter of love, which we looked at this morning, I have chosen 2 Samuel chapter 9 because it is a great picture of God's love for the unworthy and for those who could not help themselves. It is the familiar story, well, maybe that's a bit strong, familiar to some of you, of the son of Jonathan named Mephibosheth, and how David showed kindness to him for the sake of Jonathan. You know, in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, we read this about David. God raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will. That's an interesting thing to read about a man who later committed adultery and then murder and those kinds of things. It's not necessarily something you might think would be something to describe David. And yet David indeed was a man after God's heart. He had, as we all do, his faults. He was a sinner. But I think the passage before us demonstrates, as well as any other, the heart of David that is very much the heart of God. And so I want us to look at this tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 13. And David said, is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And they called him to David, and the king said to him, are you Ziba? And he said, I am your servant. And the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him? Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet. The king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lo-debar. And then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lo-debar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold, I am your servant. And David said to him, do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. And I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always. And he paid homage and said, what is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I? Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, all that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. And you and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him and shall bring in the produce, that your master's grandson may have bread to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall always eat at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so will your servant do. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who lived in Ziba's house became Mephibosheth's servants. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate always at the king's table. Now he was lame in both his feet. Would you pray with me? Father, we are grateful for your word. We're grateful, Father, for all of it. Lord, we thank you for this portion of it and pray that you would teach us about yourself, about your will, your ways, about your great love for us. And Father, may we be moved to show that love, to share that love with others. Not just those for whom it is easy to show it, or those for whom it is natural for us to show it. But Father, may we be like you in that we love even those we consider to be unlovely. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. There are three points that I want us to see, and I kind of debated on the order here, especially the first couple of points, but as long as we get them all in, I think we'll be okay. I don't think the order really matters that much. But the first thing that I want us to notice is David's covenant. David had established a covenant with a man by the name of Jonathan. You may be familiar with that name. Jonathan was Saul's son. He was in line to be the heir of Saul to the throne. And David had established this covenant with Jonathan. Actually, it had been a mutual situation. Let me read, if you want to follow, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. We notice that the initiative here was on Jonathan's part, but nevertheless, they had this covenant, this relationship with one another, so that after Saul and Jonathan were killed in battle against the Philistines, and then sometime later, David became king, first of all, over Judah, the southern, the nation or the tribe of from which he came. But then at that time, originally, Abner had made Ishbosheth, another son of Saul, the king of Israel. And so there's some time where it was kind of a divided kingdom. But eventually, David became king over all of Israel, and he moved the capital to Jerusalem. And so now he has consolidated the kingdom and he is king. And having settled that, he thinks about his covenant with Jonathan. And he begins to inquire, is there anyone from the house of Saul, anyone particularly from Jonathan's family that I can show kindness to because of the covenant that I made with him? And what we see here is that this is not at all about Mephibosheth. It is about David's covenant with Jonathan. David showed kindness to Mephibosheth because of his covenant relationship with Jonathan. It was David's love for Jonathan that caused him to have concern for Jonathan's heirs. We don't even know, evidently, he was even unaware of Mephibosheth's existence. But he wanted to make sure, he wanted to search out and see, is there someone that I can show kindness to from Jonathan's family? He sought an opportunity to bless him. You know, sometimes we receive the benefit of being related to someone else, right? Sometimes the fact that you are so-and-so's son or daughter or brother or sister gives you an instant rapport with someone else, an instant kind of goodwill with someone else because of that relationship that you have with that person. When I went to college, my brother had gone there a few years before I did. It being a small college, it was kind of like high school. Being a small college, I was, for the first couple of years there, I was Dave Cavanaugh's brother. Which was not a bad thing. Because my brother was kind of big man on campus, you know? Big fish in a little pond, so to speak. But people liked him, and thus I got a lot of grace, a lot of favor as a result of that. I'll never forget one particular situation where I got some very temporary goodwill as a result of that relationship. I had been fixed up on a blind date with a young lady. And it really wasn't going very well. She was obviously not all that thrilled with, you know, being with me, until she had attended the same college for a brief period of time. Somehow in the conversation it came up that I was Dave Kavanaugh's brother. And when she found out I was Dave Kavanaugh's brother, it changed everything for a little while. That could only carry the date so far, you know. But in any case, it's just a silly example of how oftentimes we receive goodwill because of a relationship with someone else. David showed goodwill to Mephibosheth because of his relationship with Jonathan. We are shown favor because God the Father has a covenant relationship with God the Son, His Son, Jesus Christ. Because of what Christ has done for us, God has goodwill toward us and favors us and blesses us. We are in a relationship with God for the sake of Christ. Not because of us. Not because of anything that we have done. Not because of works of righteousness that we have done. In and of ourselves, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, we don't deserve God's love. We don't deserve God's blessing. We don't deserve God's favor. But it's better than being related to Dave Kavanaugh. It's being related to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, because of his relationship with God the Father. So we see, first of all, David's covenant and the disposition that it created in his heart, in his mind, toward Mephibosheth. The second thing we see is Mephibosheth's condition. Verse 3 says, and the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him? Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet. Now, the obvious condition we see here is Jonathan's physical condition. He was crippled in his feet, which put him in a very perilous situation. Being crippled in his feet, he more than likely could not provide for himself. He couldn't work and earn his own bread. So he was probably dependent upon others to do that for him. He needed others to help him, to take care of him. He was not able to provide for himself. There's something else here that we don't want to miss. And that is that Mephibosheth was potentially an enemy, a threat to David. Keep in mind who he was, who he was related to. David was in the place that naturally you would have expected to have gone to whom? One of Saul's sons. Or, no sons, a grandson. By any natural understanding and expectation, it should have been one of Saul's sons or grandsons. I mean, humanly speaking, to have gone, to have risen to the throne. That's the natural way of succession in royal families. You know, it goes to the heir, to the son, in extreme cases, to the daughter. But not to a foreigner, not to a stranger, not to someone outside the family. In fact, David had just recently, as I indicated earlier, consolidated the kingdom. Why? Because there was another son of Saul's who was acknowledged and considered to be king over Israel. And it wasn't until he was out of the way that David could become king over all Israel, even though that had been promised him by God. He had been anointed to be king. Still, there was someone in the way for him to become king. And Mephibosheth, being an heir, being Jonathan's son, You know, there's no doubt that there were some still in the kingdom who had loyalty to Saul and to his family, and who could have easily wanted someone who was an heir of Saul to sit on the throne of Israel. David could have seen Mephibosheth as an enemy, a threat. But he didn't. He didn't. David, for Jonathan's sake, wanted to demonstrate kindness and mercy toward Mephibosheth. You know, we are very much like Mephibosheth, spiritually speaking. In the Bible, in let's start with Ephesians chapter 2. Actually, we were in worse condition than Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was crippled. We were dead. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we were worse than crippled. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. It wasn't that we were weak, we were dead. And not only that, but we were enemies. We indeed were enemies. We weren't just potential enemies. We were enemies to God. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. So we were not only dead, we were enemies. And yet God has shown mercy and grace for the sake of another, for the sake of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we see not only David's covenant and Mephibosheth's condition, but thirdly we should see, and I've already touched on this, David's kindness. David's kindness. Back to 2 Samuel 9, beginning of verse 6. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold, I am your servant. And David said to him, Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. And I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father. And you shall eat at my table always. And he paid homage and said, What is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I? Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, said to him, All that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. Well, we've read all that, but I just want to finish up with verse 13. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate always at the king's table. And I was lame in both his feet. He was still lame, and yet he was given this position of eating at the king's table. Mephibosheth had no claim in and of himself on the king. In fact, he could have been afraid. He could have feared that David would take out vengeance on him, would do away with him to make sure that there would be no chance of him ever being a threat. Mephibosheth no doubt would have been satisfied with just being allowed to live. He would have been satisfied with so much less than what the king provided for him. David's kindness went above and beyond anything that anyone would have expected from the king toward one who was an heir of the man who tried to kill David, that is Saul. David exemplifies God so well here. He pictures the Lord so well here. You see, there was another example in the New Testament. Another picture of God the Father in a very familiar story in Luke chapter 15. And you already, many of you know where I'm going. Verse 11, he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now there's more to the story, but for this point, that's as far as we need to go. Mephibosheth had no claim. Because of the family that he came from, could have thought that even his life was in danger. We have no claim on God. We, as enemies of God, you know, deserve God's wrath. And yet, God is a God of grace and mercy. And just like the father of the prodigal son, we receive far more than we ever have a right to expect from our Heavenly Father. We are the ones for whom the father killed the fatted calf and threw a party. We are the ones on whom the Lord has placed his robe of righteousness, that we might stand accepted in his sight. We are the ones who continually eat at the king's table, day after day, month after month, year after year, until the Lord takes us home to glory. What a beautiful Old Testament picture of how God deals with those who are crippled, yea, dead in sin, with those who are enemies, with those who have no expectations of anything, and yet God is a God of grace and mercy. But there's an additional lesson here, an additional word to us. Again and again and again, Jesus exhorts us to be like our Father. to exemplify His character. Just one passage in particular, and it's one that many of you will be familiar with. It's in Matthew chapter 5 at the end. Jesus says, verse 43, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Why? Because that's how our Father is. "So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." That is, you may be demonstrate that you are. "For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same?" If you just love those in your little group, in your class, in your natural affinity group, big deal. Don't even the tax collectors, the unbelievers, do that? "And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Like our Father, our King, we should show kindness to those who don't deserve it, to those who can't repay it. Again, in Luke chapter 14, Jesus says, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." We are called to love the unlovely, to love those that we might not naturally love or care for. David was a man after God's heart. He exemplifies what it means to love the unlovely. He exemplifies what it means to share his riches with one who had nothing, perhaps even less than nothing. Can it be said of us? Would anyone say of us, by our similar actions, that we are a people after God's own heart? Oh, that it would be so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, these are empty words unless they are matched by actions, my actions. Lord, help me to be a man after your heart, to be a man who demonstrates mercy and grace, because I have been shown so much mercy and grace. Father, help us as Reynoldsburg Baptist Church to be a people who love, yes, love one another, but who also love the unlovely. Lord, we pray that you will continue to purge us of selfishness and self-concern. Lord, make us like yourself. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.